and welcome to WD Carousel of Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Laurel.
I'm Ian.
And I'm Crystal.
So today we're going to be talking about one of the newest shows to come out on Disney Plus.
Yes, it's been a little minute since we've had a Marvel show pop up, especially a character that we're not familiar with.
Yeah. True. Well, some of us are not familiar.
Okay, fine.
That's true.
If you're not a big comic book geek, you probably don't know a lot about Kamala Khan as Miss Marvel. She is like the fourth quote unquote Miss Marvel, but she's the most interesting by far. There's Carol Danvers, who was originally Miss Marvel before that comic book changed her into Captain Marvel, which made that character more interesting. But Kamala Khan, her comic book actually came out in February of 2014, so it's not an old comic book.
Yeah,
it hasn't been around for a long time.
Yeah, I knew that she was a newer character, and I'd heard of Ms. Marvel before, but I didn't know any of the background or anything along those lines, because I am not necessarily a comic book follower, but I do love the cinematographic Marvel world that Disney has been creating and Marvel's been creating. Mm-hmm. And these first couple episodes that have come out now, they've been really, so really good. Interesting.
Yeah. My first exposure to Kamala Khan is I played the intro storyline for the Avengers video game.
Yes, she was in Avengers.
She was featured in that, and I really liked the character. Mm-hmm. In that the game has some issues, and I didn't get that far past that whole situation, but I really liked her. She was a really fun character to follow.
Yeah, and what's great about her is she was created by people who are of that background.
Mm-hmm.
So not. Excuse me if I mispronounce the last name. Amanat, she very much based this character on her own childhood, on her own experiences as a Pakistani Muslim immigrant to this country. Her parents were, she was born here. So you always have that dichotomy of like your two identities, no matter, if that's your background or if you're from Mexico or if you're from England or, wherever you're from, you have these different ethnicities or cultures that are sparring with each other.
And representation is great. I just want to point that out because we have had in the Marvel universe, not as much representation until just recently. And you're expecting to see a couple different cultures, the quote unquote stereotypical, we're going to be diverse cultures represented. But when it comes to Pakistani or, other Asian, Indo-Asian cultures, I love that they're representing it.
Bordering into more Arabic, like that kind of like world, if you're talking about Hindi or Urdu, like those kinds of language, there isn't a lot of representation in American media as like a main character. They're usually some sort of side character, and up until very recently, very, very recently, usually like some sort of stereotype a lot of the time.
Yeah. And the great thing about the comic was, starting off, it is created by people of that culture. It was animated by people of that culture. And then it carried on into this series where the directors, the writers are all from this background. All of the actors are played by actors of appropriate backgrounds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's no one like, and it's kind of like, you look ambiguously ethnic. We'll just shove you in here. Like they actually. Yep.
They wouldn't do that.
Yeah. No.
Never has that happened.
Moon Knight? What?
No.
I wasn't going to say anything
on
that
one. Listen,
I
love Moon Knight, but there's still like Oscar Isaac himself was like, I guess I'm ambiguously ethnic in an interview because he's definitely not Egyptian.
Oh, no. My God. No.
That's funny.
But they have aspects as well where in the show, if we just want to let me just jump in and say the visuals on this show feel
stunning.
Like genuine, because you're talking about a teenage girl with her cartoony drawings and her daydreaming, and the way that she sees the world is exactly the same way that I saw it when I was her age, fantasizing about this or doodling here. I mean, I like identified with the character just mm-hmm. off of some of those visuals that they presented alone.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and I love the way that her effervescent like personality transformed. Like when she's walking down the street, signs will like yes. animate oh. or graffiti on the walls will yes. animate.
Yes.
It was
yes.
so, you know, inspired yeah. by graphic novels, but then taken to this whole new level of her imagination and her artistry, yeah. just transforming into the actual world that she's
it
in.
It blends so well.
Cool. Yeah,
it
that
blends
was
so well.
The first thing that I thought of when I first started watching it, you know, kind of getting into her style and like the way she does all this stuff, it kind of reminded me a little bit of Scott Pilgrim. Like it had this
yes!
kind of like that energy to it, that very kind of a little bit high speed, sort of off kilter with lots of visual aspects that are very much blending into, you know, like a lot of comic book visuals mm-hmm. blending yeah. into the actual world. And it does such a good job of showing that character's state of mind. Like it does such a good job. And like, what was the one that I really liked was the in the beginning, I've only seen the first episode, I know you guys are ahead, but the texting, when they were texting back and forth,
yeah.
and the mm-hmm. texting like messages
go on the bodega
up.
Shop like
yeah.
boards mm-hmm. and stuff
yeah.
yeah.
it was so it's just so well integrated. Everything feels very very seamless and very from the mind of the person that you're following.
And the color palette also, the color palette just screams teenager too.
Yeah.
Nice bright colors. And that blends well with the Pakistani culture too, because
that's what I was going to say. Yeah. Those colors are very much in like the traditional dress of
yeah.
textiles.
Yeah.
And I love how they brought that in for spoiler. I love how they brought that in for doing the Big Hulk, Little Hulk.
Yes.
Costume.
I was gonna bring that up. Like the dad. Oh, and her dad is such a great character. But actually, honestly, both of
them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Her whole family is just the most relatable, like especially in Marvel, but like even movies in general, like they just felt very are we gonna do spoilers for the first episode? I don't know.
I think we have to. Yeah.
I think we already did, yeah. I mean, like, even when she's in trouble, her mom mm-hmm. like, there's not this like overwhelming like her parents are being unreasonable. Like everyone at all times feels genuine in their concern and genuine in what their convictions are. And her mom not feeling overboard, just being very stern and very, very disappointed. Like, it's a more realistic way to perceive her story. It was just really, really cool for me in terms of, like, portrayal of parents.
Yeah. I also love Kamala and the way that she is unapologetically a young teen.
Yeah.
Like, Peter Parker is the only other one that is, like, a really big teenager. Mm-hmm. But even him, as this huge geek, I feel he has some more suave to him.
Yes.
Whereas Kamala yes. is just a geeky... Like, yeah. I think she's supposed to be 16.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, this actress is 16. You can tell that she feels it. You can tell that this
right.
is how...
She does a good job.
Yeah, like a 16-year-old obsessed mm-hmm. with Captain Marvel would be and how excited you would be. But also, like, she's clumsy and she's not...
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't... when she's practicing her power spoiler for episode 2, she doesn't get it right away. You know,
oh,
like,
no.
and yeah. I feel like with Spider-Man, you always have, like, okay, he crashes a couple times, but then
right,
he's got it.
Right.
You know, that's not the case for her. And I think that's so, it would play more
genuine.
For kids that age. Like, you're not
yeah.
going to be great at something 2 seconds after you learn
right.
or you decide you're going to do something.
Yeah, but also not to give up, too.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
just... If we want to get a little bit deeper into the storyline, because we talked about the mom and the mom's disappointment,
mm-hmm.
where she was talking about, do you want to be the good girl that I helped raise, or do you want to keep your head
in the cosmos or whatever?
In the cosmos.
Yeah.
And that's a debate that every single person around their age has to deal with,
mm-hmm.
whether or not they have superpowers. Because let's be honest, I don't have superpowers, but I
right.
still had those
right.
questions about myself.
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to follow the path that my mother and father want me to follow?
Yep.
Or am I going to follow what's true to my heart?
Yeah.
And, you know, if you have the superpowers, it kind of lends yourself to wanting to explore those a little bit more, or at least it would to me. But these are relatable topics, as well as being a superhero show too, which is something that Marvel does fantastically.
Mm-hmm.
Because you always want to have some sort of learning, it feels like, yeah. or you get some sort of learning, it feels like, from yeah. these different shows, stories,
yeah.
Movies, et cetera.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely.
I think the one big difference as far as fans of the comics were expecting her to be, you know, the same as she was in the comics in the show. And for the most part, she is, but her powers differ. Yeah. So, like, in the comics, she has Inhuman DNA, which Inhumans, if you saw, like, the very short-lived ABC Inhuman show, which was egregiously bad, that's probably the only exposure you've had. I think it lasted 6 episodes because it was so
Ooh.
Bad.
Ooh.
But Inhumans are going to come into play eventually, I would assume, okay. but not here where we expected the tie-in to be. So okay. in the comics, she has Inhuman DNA, and it's activated when she's exposed to this Terrigen mist. And then that activates her powers, which are a lot of it is just like embiggening herself. So it's kind of like Mr. Fantastic from the Fantastic mm-hmm. Four. Where
I
like,
was thinking
the
same
can,
thing.
Yeah, like she can grow big, she can grow tall, she can her limbs can go out. But in the show, it's more of like she gets this bangle from her grandmother. And there's something inside her. We haven't really figured out what's going on yet, but there's yep. something that bangle has unleashed her powers, which are not embiggening necessarily. It's
well,
more,
she does have a little bit of a Stretch Armstrong feel to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's like manipulating energy.
Sorry, that was an old reference.
but these powers are more like manipulating energy in that shape.
Right.
You know,
right.
stuff She's, that she can do. She can make, you know, these crystallite energy fields, like she can step on them or she can grow her arm right. out to catch someone, but it's a little
form,
bit different.
It's almost like it's kind of like an aura projecting beyond her. So if it's yeah. a fist, it's just because
exactly.
this projection that's moving mm-hmm. past her fist.
Yeah, not the actual fleshy like bits.
Exactly. In the first episode, the fleshy bits. Sorry, I love that. in the first episode, like when it like happens the first time. And I really did like, and you guys alluded to that in for the second episode too, but the whole concept of like, she's just not very good at like, it's just this very clumsy, like she has yeah. no idea what's happening. It's
like,
really,
I don't know how this works.
Yeah. It felt really chaotic. And that's exactly, you know, what it would be. It would be chaotic. You wouldn't yeah. have this like, oh, I understand now, I'm a spider. You know, that doesn't, mm-hmm. that's not how that works.
But, sorry. What the heck is that show? Now I'm having a brain fart. But where is he changes into a bat and all he does is go bat, and then I got the same thing for Spider. What We Do in the Shadows.
Oh,
there
we
go.
Shadows, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. But Spider, no, not like that in the Marvel universe.
It's gotta be like, I mean, if you're generating your own new powers, like how is your body gonna there's just yeah, it makes so much more sense to be like, ah, what is this? What's that? Oh boy, you know, it's just I don't know.
But I think the biggest draw for me is the story is good. It's very much like a coming of age story with mm-hmm. powers, mm-hmm. but the acting like elevates it.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
I love Iman Vellani as
yeah.
Kamala Khan. Mm-hmm. And the greatest thing about her is that she practically is Kamala Khan.
I mean,
like, she got noticed because she used to make Captain Marvel cosplays from scratch.
No, Miss Marvel cosplays.
No, it's Captain Marvel.
No. Oh, no, you're right. Miss Marvel.
No, it's Miss Marvel. Okay. They have a picture yeah. of her when she was a little girl,
yep.
literally wearing a Ms. Marvel cosplay.
I love it.
And
well, she made herself because those didn't yeah. work for sale.
No,
yeah.
no, not a popular.
So she was a huge fan of the comic.
And being able to represent the same age instead of having a 30 something or 20 something represent.
Yeah,
I think she's 19.
Why
or
does
something.
That 13 year old have washboard abs?
Truly.
They do a
no,
lot of sit ups.
She yeah. did a really good job of just being a person that age, even though like, yeah, she's like what, like 19, but like, yeah, it's the same deal. Like,
it's closer.
Enough. Close enough.
Closer than the movie Grease.
Not Tobey Maguire.
Oh, as a cosplayer, I want to point out this little fact. So they have that cosplay competition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love that the arts department decided to make her helmet out of cardboard. It's I recognize that pattern. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, they actually did it. They didn't do a cop out or they didn't just grab something. They made it out of cardboard, which is a touch that most people wouldn't recognize, but people who do a lot of cosplay and costuming, chef's kiss.
Yeah. The actually, that whole AvengerCon environment was really, honestly, like all the little details they cut to. First of all, the really frenetic way they cut the scene, the establishing shots there. Mm-hmm. Is exactly how I feel about them. Like, just really overloading and really, really, like, hard to take any of it in. Like, because I that's my issue with conventions is, like, I just struggle with that much happening at once. Mm-hmm. But, like, the little, like, little snippets that cut away to, some of them are great. Like the Captain America reference. They had the little, like, all the stuff. It was very, it felt very much like a real convention. They did a really good job of making it feel authentic, which was really cool.
It felt like a real convention mixed with like a rave party with the coloring and the neon and everything at night.
All I could think of was the movie Hackers, which is a very dated reference. I will date myself with that reference, but like there was that energy there.
I was thinking Michael Keaton Batman movies, but you know, same thing.
Enough.
And then we had Matt Lintz, who played Bruno Corelli, which is her best friend, who helps her design the costume. And he was from Walking Dead. He was in Walking Dead for a long time.
But we don't talk about Bruno. Mm. Why did they bring up the name Bruno again? What's going on with Disney and Bruno?
Disney and Bruno.
But to be fair, this is based on a comic book.
I know.
Was he called Bruno in the comic too?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'll let them have this one.
You'll allow it.
I suppose we'll allow it.
Yeah. That's funny.
But I also like that they made him like the odd person out, and like he's trying to conform to fit more into her family because he enjoys their culture and them as people.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to make them feel odd because he's like the lone white person in the show, which is great.
Right,
like
right.
It's about time. Mm-hmm.
And he's like, he's doing a good job of trying to be helpful or
appreciative of the culture,
the people, and what they are and everything. The making his own version of like a Amazon Echo or something with like it speaks.
Understands Urdu.
Urdu. That was pretty cool. That was pretty funny.
And then episode two, not to spoil too much, but it makes sense why he's trying so hard.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You kind of get a sense of it in the first episode, too. Okay.
I mean.
But, but also, I think we'll get more into his backstory as where, like, there's no parents around. Like, he doesn't have much of a family.
Yeah.
So, like, he's fallen into this family and he's really taken to them, which is really sweet.
Mm-hmm. And mom just keeps feeding him.
Yeah.
I love that. Oh, my God. That was so funny.
The acting of the parents is, like,
oh my God.
So good.
Like, the quiet, like, disappointment when she tells him that it would be embarrassing to go with her father to the convention.
Oh my God. It was so real.
It like
so
hurt
real.
My soul because it was so real.
Yeah. Especially since, I love the sweet dad.
Mm-hmm.
But I watched that episode and then later that night, I literally went to a concert with my father that he has no interest in, but he wanted to be there to support me.
Yeah.
So I was getting those same kind of vibes when I was watching that episode, being like, oh my gosh, it's kind of like my dad dressing up and trying to support me for this concert. It's so sweet.
Yeah. I will say so I watched the first episode again in preparation for this episode, and I had to fast forward that part because it just hurts my heart.
It was so painful. I know.
But their acting is just so spot on.
He colored himself green.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And neither of these actors, the majority of the actors in this show actually have not been in big projects. So this is really a chance for like a lot of these people to break out and go on to other things, which is so nice. They're, you know, have these opportunities in the appropriate spaces and representation there where they should be. Yes. Instead of just signing on someone ethnically ambiguous to play these parts. Right. Because they have name recognition. They actually went with people who.
Right.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm really looking forward to seeing where this goes. It's gotten endorsements from almost every single outlet
Malala
that I've seen.
Yousef.
Yes.
Wrote a letter thanking them for this show.
Yeah. Because, oh my God.
She was like, you play the music that I listen to. You have phrases that my family uses around the house in your show.
Yeah.
And she's just like, I've never seen anything like this on television, let alone a Marvel property that's going to be popular because of the name Marvel.
Marvel. Yeah.
You know, it's such a big deal.
Tied into phase four. Like, that's huge.
Well, yeah, Kamala Khan, it's a large part of Young Avengers, and that's what they're setting up with these with a lot of these characters.
And she is going to show up in the next Captain.
In the Marvels, yeah.
Yeah.
So it'll be her and Captain Marvel, and then, I can't remember, I think it's Monica Rambeau.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So Photon?
Photon? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they'll all be in that one.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, she's coming to like the big screen later on.
Yeah. Awesome. For those of you who might not remember who that character is, WandaVision.
She's Maria Rambeau's daughter.
Daughter. Yeah.
Who is the best friend of Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
And her, she basically had her entire, like, it's almost like WandaVision was actually Photon's origin story, like, to a certain degree.
It's a big really secondary spot point,
Yeah, definitely.
Can't wait to see where this goes. I am actually excited about this Marvel property for a show again. It's been like, okay, I have a feeling, now correct me if I'm wrong, that this is kind of feeling along the same lines as the Star Trek movies. One was good, two you could have skipped, three was good, four, I mean, and so, like, we started out with WandaVision, and then we got Loki, and then
what was the, I'm trying to think
I
of the
mean,
ones.
I disagree, because I loved all of them, but
I know, but you're, yeah, you're the Marvel nerd of the three of us.
Yes. I thought they were all great, and that they're all like very, like, this is like the coming of age story. WandaVision was like the ode to television. Here's our introduction to our Marvel series in
TV universe.
In TV universe. Yeah. Then you had, you know, Falcon Winter Soldier, which was like our, you know, spy thriller commentary on the times. Loki was just demented fun. Here's your Asgardians.
So demented. I love it.
And then Moon Knight was a trip, and I loved it. But it's not for everyone. They're so different. And I think it's the same for Marvel movies in general. Like, you know, not everybody loves the first Captain America, but they love Guardians of the Galaxy. Like, there's a lot of difference between those movies. So.
Not to mention, you know, we're not going to get into it, but the most recent Marvel movie that came out, which was Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, completely different feel.
Yeah.
Than every other movie that Marvel has come out with yet. So
they keep pushing the envelope. Yeah.
Yeah. They're trying. It's almost like they're taking a huge thing of dice and rolling it and being like, okay, so what's our theme for this one? Let's do comic book, or let's do 50s television, or let's do horror, or let's do, and they're like
they have a slot machine of genres.
Yeah, I think the reason it feels like that, because that's what they were kind of doing at Marvel Comics, because even though like WandaVision was so odd and so different, House of M held a lot, that comic series had a lot of those plot points. So it is just like, when you base it off these comic books that have 50 years of history and different storylines, then you pick and choose what you want. And they were doing some crazy things in the 70s, and they were doing some weird things in the 90s.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So it's so interesting to see how they interpret it for screen.
Yeah.
And with this being such a new series and such a new comic line as well, I'm interested to see how they're going to grow and mirror off of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know that with them being so young, they're going to have a lot of back and forth going on with inspiration.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I'm really interested to see who they bring in for Young Avengers, because just like the Avengers have been many people who have been in that, but we've already seen a bunch of them mentioned. Like right. Wanda's kids are in it.
Yep.
America Chavez is in it.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember from Falcon and Winter Soldier, the original super soldier after Cap, who got basically thrown away.
Yeah, the older
his grandson
is a
part of Young Avengers.
Oh, okay.
So all of these kids have shown up in some way, shape, or form. It'll be interesting to see how we go forward.
How they
who gets brought in and who they kind of forget about. You know, it'll be interesting to see. But Kamala Khan is a big part of that. So it's exciting to see her come and be such a cool character.
And her screen presence is so powerful in the cinematic universe that it's going to be, she's going to be a great, you know, kind of bind. Because, like, you know, you think about the kind of the first three phases of the Marvel Cinematic Universe so far, you know, who was our binding force? It was basically Iron Man, I would argue.
And Cap.
Cap, yeah, for sure. But, I mean, for me, that was always kind of my I think people kind of choose between the two of them. I feel like people kind of fall onto each side. Iron Man was definitely my intro into Marvel properly.
Mm-hmm.
And he was always just such an anchor point through all these stories. And now that's they're moving on to the next, you know, these new phases, it's like we've got lots of people up in the air. There's lots of juggled characters who are all really cool and really, really compelling. But who is our new Iron Man? Who's our new Captain America? Who are the people who are going to anchor this new timeline and how it's going to move forward?
And it's so crazy because there's so many announcements. So you have Ironheart coming up, who she is basically a smarter version of Tony Stark.
Right.
And then you have an announcement that Thunderbolts is going to be a thing, which we knew because we have seen these after credit scenes of people getting recruited by Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah.
But there's so many teams coming to play. It's going to be really interesting to see how this works out. I can't wait to see how Kamala Khan grows from this first episode to when she appears in the Marvels film.
Yeah, where she's
going to end up. Because I think there's going to be a lot of character growth and exposition in that time. And I think it's just going to be really cool to see.
Yeah.
Now, before we wrap this up, I do want to just mention real quick, this is the first time that I've noticed, and correct me if I'm wrong, that a Marvel show had a quote-unquote after credit scene in the first episode.
I did not even see the after credit scene.
Really?
I didn't see it.
Yes. So you know how recently they've been splitting the credits into like the comic-y booky credits and then it goes to the, you know, normal black screen? It came after the comic booky credits.
Oh, okay.
And then they had a little scene
the
pop up.
The mid-credit is, I think, what they technically call
sure.
it.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. So yeah, they had
a watch it.
Little scene there. And since you've seen episode
went
from 2,
this
it makes
to
sense.
Obi-Wan, so I just didn't stay through the credits.
Yeah, that's such a Marvel-y thing. It's so
but you
I like watch
know.
Like a Pixar movie and I'm like, I don't need to stay. Why am I staying? There's no post credit again. You can go now.
Well, on that note, this has been WD Carousel of Podcast. My name's Crystal.
I'm Ian.
And I'm Laurel.
And we hope you have a great big beautiful tomorrow. Bye, everybody.
There's a great big beautiful tomorrow. Just a dream away.